Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. This is Brother Larry bringing you another message from what I talked about last week, the very Word of God, and how precious is that. And I hope that my last broadcast would emphasize it. All those passages that I read, what the Scriptures can do for us if we only obey it. Isn't that the key? Obeying the Word of God, trusting God. I'm still want to continue on this vein about wise and foolish men. So you want to be wise, or do we want to be foolish? And I'm sure you would all answer, brothers and sisters, that you want to be wise. I want to be wise. I don't want to be a foolish person. Therefore, I'm going to start out and I'm going to read two passages. They are complementary passages, and they're not that lengthy, but I'd like you to follow along with me. If not, please write the reference down. And those passages are Matthew 7, 24 through 27, and its complementary passage is Luke chapter 6, 46 through 49. So I'm going to start, and I'm going to read Matthew 7, 24 through 27. Quote, "Therefore," this is Jesus speaking, "therefore everyone who hears these words of mine," and I'm going to stop here and say, what words is he talking about? It can mean the whole of everything that he said, but it's specifically on the end when Jesus finishes his Sermon on the Mount. So that's the immediate context of it. So let's keep on reading. "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against the house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." Now the complementary passage, which is found in Luke, the only two gospels that this little metaphor is found in, Luke 6, 46. "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not what I say?" Let me read that again, because this is a very important sentence here. "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not what I say?" Remember we've been talking about drawing near? Remember those passages? And the ones that are on the outer edge of the circle are the ones who are disobeying this one right here. They're saying, "Lord, Lord," but we're not doing what he says. Now let me explain that a little bit more. First of all, I want to deal with the primary context of the passage. And I'll get to that when I finish Luke chapter 6, 46 through 49. And going on, Jesus says, "As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on a rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck the house, but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck the house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete." So the passages we read have some similarities, and they're very important. First of all, I might say this, because the critics will do this of Scripture. Oh, they say, well, see, the Bible contradicts itself, because what Luke says and what Matthew says aren't exactly alike. They're different. But the story is the same, my folks. That's what you got to tell them. Now, Just because people say things differently doesn't mean it's a contradiction. You can't show me any contradiction in here. But there are differences. But those differences are not contradictory. You understand what I'm saying? I can tell a story, and it can be all completely true, and somebody who has witnessed and observed the same event can say it differently, but it doesn't mean it's false. He may observe something more than what I did. I was paying attention to something else in that scenario. So y'all understand what I'm saying here. Critics of the scriptures will do that. I would be more suspect of scripture if every word was the same. It's like one person copying the next. So that's just in way of passing. I'd like to bring that out because I like to deal with critics as I go along in here. And you'll see that many times in the scriptures. Stories in the gospels, some have it, some don't. Just because some gospels have a story and some others don't, it doesn't mean it's false. You understand what I'm trying to say. So in the context, and I want to turn in my Bible, I was just reading it off my page here. In the context, if you're in Matthew 7, and let me turn there, it won't take me long. In Matthew 7, the whole context has to do with this. You have to go all the way back to the starting of the paragraph, which says, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clclothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." Verse 16, "Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes or thorns or figs or thistles? Even so, every good tree brings forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Verse 18, "A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that brings not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire." Verse 20, "Wherefore by their fruits you shall know them." Now, so the context here is talking about those who claim to be believers, claim to be Christians, but are false. You can see it. Not in between, not almost a Christian, or not sometimes a Christian. They are false prophets. So we all understand that. And if you look at the beginning of verse 24, to prove the context again, is the word therefore. And you have to ask yourself, when you see that word therefore in Scripture, you have to ask yourself, what's it there for? Therefore is a very interesting word in the original languages of the New Testament. It means this, for that reason. So he's going back to what he's talking about. And he's talking about false prophets. It's drawing a conclusion as we got to our house building passages, verses 24 through 27. So this is religious. You know what I'm saying? It is religious in its context. False prophets. It's not talking about secular people. It's talking about lost people, but they are lost religious people. "They will say to me, Lord, on that day." Now look at, and I say that in verse 21. It says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." You hear what that says? Just because someone says Jesus Christ is Lord, does not necessarily mean that they will enter in the kingdom of heaven. I didn't say it. Jesus just said it. "But he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven." This goes along the line of what I am saying here. What I said earlier in my last podcast. You have to be in Christ to be a believer in Jesus Christ. You can't say, "Well, I believe in Christ and I'm just going to live my own way." Yeah, I can go to church. I can even sing in the choir. I can even praise the Lord. But you can do that and still be lost because you haven't given yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ. Many will say to me in verse 22, in that day, Lord, Lord, we have not prophesied, and have we not prophesied in thy name? Look what it's saying. It says, they're saying this. It doesn't say that they did it. It says that they're saying this. And in thy name, haven't we not cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works. And look what they're trying to establish, the fact of what they did, not what God did through them. And isn't this like so many religious people? They want to brag about what they did. That's the fruit that you can tell, because the fruit is this, of what they say, not by what they do, because they're not doing the will of the Lord. So the context is religious. The context is false people who claim to be Christians and who are not. These are what we read about in verses 24 through 27 in Matthew and Luke chapter 6, 46 through 49. These are those who are foolish builders, because they don't practice what the Lord has said. They're imposters. They're wolves in sheep's clothing. And I can know them by what they say. And as I go on, we're gonna see this. So Matthew 7, Jesus said that the foundation that we build upon was his words, practicing his words. And this is what the apostles and prophets spoke, which was the word of God. I want you to listen to these reference verses, and you can turn there if you'd like, but all you need to do is listen. You can write these down and have these later at your disposal. But Jesus said, I'm trying to establish the truth of the word of God. Listen to what it says. John 16, 12 through 15. Jesus said in John, he says, quote, I have much more to say to you, more than you can bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you. Listen to me. The Spirit of truth, this is the Spirit, this is the Holy Spirit, that you receive Christ, God sends to you. And this is scriptural. We can look at it and see it. God sends you the Holy Spirit to live inside of you. Those are true believers. That doesn't happen with false apostles because they don't do what Jesus said concerning salvation. Understand what I'm saying? They've turned away. So they don't receive the Spirit of God. Therefore, they can't build their house. They build it upon what they say. Let's move on, and we'll see this as we move on. Though the Spirit will guide you into all truth, he will not speak of his own. He will speak only what he hears. And what he will tell you what is yet to come, he will glorify me. Because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. Now he's talking to his disciples, his apostles. And the implication is for us also, as we read on farther in John, we'll see that. Let's go on. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. So here's the conclusion. That God gave his Spirit. He gave it to the apostles to receive, to teach them about what he said, to bring to their remembrance, and to how to live in those words. So, what the apostles wrote, and every book is written by an apostle except for the account of Luke and Acts. Luke was associated very closely with the apostle Mark, and he traveled with the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts, so he's closely associated with the apostles. What Jesus is saying is, the apostles will carry on my truth. So you have the New Testament. That is it carries as much weight as what Jesus said. Don't like red letter editions because it kind of puts more emphasis on what Jesus said and what the New Testament says. Like there's more validity. That's not true. It's what I just read. Because the Holy Spirit, who is divinity, who does what Christ has taught, brings them to our remembrance or to the disciples' remembrance to write the scriptures. He will make it known to you. And this is what they penned, and this is what they wrote down. And he also says in John 14, as we go back, but the Advocate, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I have said to you. Reinforces my statement that what the apostles wrote and written down is what the Word of God says. So you see my point. So the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God, the words of Jesus, and teaches them to the apostles. And it is that word that we build our house upon. You understand what I'm saying? It's the very words of God. We build our house upon that by practicing what they taught. You cannot go through the scriptures, and this is how you can tell somebody who is religious but not a Christian. They'll pick apart the Bible and say, this is true, and I don't believe this part. Not true. You believe all of the scriptures, 66 books, as Jesus verified the Old Testament. You believe the whole book or you don't believe any of it. It all stands together. So you get my point of what I'm talking about. So is that word that we build our house upon? Not really is it the church that is the foundation, but is what our Lord says and the practice of what he says. That is the foundation. And so in our own personal lives, we're building this house based on what he said. Doesn't James say the same thing? Be not hearers of the word, but be doers of the word. Jesus, to me, is not referring to the church here because the church wasn't even born, but individuals. And we read, who builds his house? Singular pronoun. Who builds his house? How's your building project coming, brothers and sisters? I know in the context this is talking about false prophets, but an implication is the same for us as believers. How are we doing about building our house? How are we practicing the words of Christ? We say, Lord, Lord, but are we putting them into practice? Believers, how you doing? How you building your house? Are you building your house by watching TV too much or reading secular books too much? I mean, this book are the very words of God for our salvation, not only for our soul salvation, but our salvation from the onslaughts of Satan and the deception he would filter through us through our sin nature. It gives you that weapons. It gives you that armor, and we dare not neglect it. If we doubt God's given word, we are not building a foundation. Simple as that. We have no foundation. We're trying to build a house upon our own words, our own thoughts. And if you're not out there and you're not a Christian, you need to listen to this because this whole the main context is talking about those who are religious. We have tons of churches like this that don't really teach the Word of God. They're into social reconstruction. They're into being a good citizen or whatever it might be. They're not into teaching what Jesus Christ said as the authoritative Word of God in our lives and also the lives of the church and in the lives of others that we deal with. So we're trying, believers, to build our house upon our own words, or are we trying to build it upon the words of Christ? If we don't believe it, we'll be a foolish person. And if you're out there and you're not a believer, but you're a religious person and you nitpick the Bible, you cherry pick it and believe some things but don't believe the other things, you're foolish. This is my next podcast, or the next two podcasts will be comparing foolish and wise people according to the scriptures. So are we reading? Are we hearing God's word and constantly finding fault, arguing with what Christ and his apostles have taught? You are erecting your house on sinking sand. Your house may look good, just looks like the neighbors. Pretty good looking house. But it won't stand during the storms and floods. Why? Because it's not erected on the Word of God. That's the foundation. It has to be on. Every builder knows this. You have to have a good foundation in order for the house to stand. There are those who thought they were smarter than Jesus and made their house based upon their works. And they were very proud of it. Listen to what people say. This is how you can tell their fruits. What are they saying about Jesus Christ especially? Was he just a man, a great teacher? Or was he who he claimed to be and who the apostles substantiated him to be? The divine Son of God. The second person of God, of the Trinity. Fully God and fully man. But no, there are those out there who think, religious people, who think they're smarter than Jesus, and they think no more than he does, and they make their house based upon what they say and their own works, and they become proud of it. So how can we see how the foolish builder is thinking? Well, let's see what the Bible says about the foolish man and what does the scripture say about the wise man. Let us compare and contrast this, and we're going to do that. I do not want to be classified as a foolish man. I don't think you want to either. I need to build my house on a solid foundation because, listen, brothers and sisters, if they're not already here, the storms are going to come, and there's a big storm coming. It's called the Great Tribulation. Such as no man has ever seen and ever will see again. By building my house wisely, I will be drawing near to my God and thus shielding myself from Satan's fiery darts in this warfare that I am engaged in. We'll pick up on this on the next broadcast. If this has been a teaching or a blessing to you, pass it on to others, and we'll all rejoice in heaven together. God bless.